us what we need to know about the Oregon Board of Dentistry.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. You have before you today the budget for the Board of Dentistry for a public hearing. The Board of Dentistry licenses general dentists, dentist specialists, and dental hygienists, and regulates the use of anesthesia in dentistry, and certifies dental assistants. It is a board made up of 9 members appointed by the governor. The governor's recommended budget is a 17% increase with the 9901 estimated expenditures and a 6.7% increase over the current service level. Again, like the other health-related boards that you've had before you, it is 100% other funds. The funds are received from license and application fees, renewal fees, civil penalties, and miscellaneous fees. The board did increase their fees during this current biennium. Therefore, those fees will need to be ratified by the legislature. That will come before you most likely next week in a separate bill, a fee bill. In addition to the continuing current service level, the budget has 3 policy option packages. The first 2 packages relate to other substantive legislation. That legislation would increase the makeup of the board by 2 additional members, and it increases the compensation for board members from $30 a day to $150 a day. That bill has been assigned to the House Health and Public Advocacy Committee, but has not yet been heard. And then the third package relates to technology equipment replacement. The board would replace 5 computer workstations and 1 fax machine. One of the computers that would be replaced was purchased in 1998, and the other 4 in 1999. And the board is anticipating replacing those in the year 2003, so it would be the last 6 months of the biennium for the budget that we're considering. And with that, Mr. Chair, we do have with us today Dr. Eugene Kelly is a member of the Board of Dentistry, Chris Hudson, also a member of the board, and Joanne Bones, the Executive Director of the board, and Sarah Gates from the Department of Administrative Services.
Good. Welcome to the committee, and if we could have Dr. Kelly and Chris Hudson come to the hearing table, and also Joanne Bones, that would be fine. All 3 of you come, and please identify yourself for the record and proceed in whatever order you choose.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Eugene Kelly. I am a member and past president of the Board of Dentistry, and Ms. Hudson is likewise a past president. The mission of the Board of Dentistry is to ensure that citizens of the state receive the highest possible quality of dental care, and the goals of the board are to protect the public from unsafe, incompetent, or fraudulent practitioners, and to encourage licensees to practice safely and competently in the best interests of their patients, and educate the public on acceptable and appropriate dental practices. We are gaining authority, statutory authority, from the ORS 679 for dentists, ORS 680.010 through 0.205, and 680.990 for dental hygienists. The Board of Dentistry rules are found in the Oregon Administrative Rules, Chapter 818. And just in passing, the Board of Dentistry is the oldest healthcare licensing board. It was established 114 years ago, 2 years before the Board of Medicine. So, without further ado, then, I would like to introduce to you Joe Bones, who is the executive director and is a very outstanding executive director.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly. Chair Hartung, members of the committee, thank you for for patients today. As Mr. Olson pointed out, there are 9 members of the board.
Please identify yourself.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
I know better.
That's right.
Joanne Bones, Executive Director of the Board of Dentistry. In addition to the 9 members of the board, there are 7 full-time staff members. There are several standing committees of the board, which are listed on the handout which you have before you. We also employ quite a few contractors who act as consultants to us in dealing with issues beyond the expertise of some of our own members, for instance, in prosthodontics or in conducting our specialty exams. Our board members work really hard. We meet about every 8 weeks. Board members are also members of at least 2 committees, sometimes 3 and 4 committees. All of our committees are also have representation from the Oregon Dental Association and the Oregon Dental Hygienist Association. I'm sure you've noted we do license 2 professions that have 2 separate schooling pathways and ways to licensure. Our members average about 6 full work weeks a year, donating their time for the board. And in addition, those who are licensees serve as examiners for the Western Regional Examining Board, of which we are a member state. It's a regional testing agency that conducts clinical exams for dentists and hygienists for 11 states. We have a list in the handout of the programs and services we provide. I'll just hit the high points. If there's anything that catches your attention, we can stop. We have licensing and examinations. We also issue permits and certificates. The board establishes the standards and, of education and training. We determine the eligibility of applicants, all the usual things that licensing boards do. We conduct background checks through the National Practitioners Data Bank, which is a federal mandated reporting entity for disciplinary actions for healthcare providers. We have just started conducting audits of our continuing education, and the board establishes the standards for administering anesthesia in the dental office. We have 3 levels of anesthesia permits that are issued. In fact, Dr. Kelly is the board expert on anesthesia and approves the applications for the general anesthesia and the deep conscious sedation permits, which are pretty technical. In addition to licensing and examination, we have enforcement and monitoring. We investigate all the complaints that we receive. Most of the complaints we receive have to do with patient care issues. We initiate disciplinary action where appropriate. We negotiate settlement agreements, and we monitor the licensees who are under sanction by the board and required to accomplish something towards maybe remedial training. We'll get into that a little bit later. In under administration and education, we publish a newsletter, we maintain a website, we spend a lot of time speaking to outside groups, we speak to dental students, providers, office managers of dental offices. I do all the usual things that administrators do, the budget planning, being here in front of you. We review the board laws and rules. We participate in national and regional professional organizations so we can stay updated on what's going on. The board has a strategic plan, which is one of the very strong points of our public member, Chris Hudson. Our strategic plan for the past couple of years and for the years moving forward are there on page 3. The high points are assure citizens are effectively and efficiently served through setting standards, conducting background checks, investigating complaints promptly and objectively, and enforcement and our monitoring again. We've done a lot to enhance our communications, which was part of the strategic plan. The creation of the website was just part of the plan for this past year, and we got it up and running in April. Got a lot of compliments on it. The plan also called for the assessing the effectiveness of the Dental Practice Act and eliminating any unnecessary barriers. Within that piece of our plan was addressing our pathways to licensure in Oregon. The board for the past 10 years or so, there's only been one way to licensure, and that's through the examination, clinical examinations conducted by the Western Regional Examining Board. Through some work with Representative Tom Butler last session and some committee work with the Oregon Dental Hygienists Association and the Oregon Dental Association, in July of 99, we implemented licensure by credential. We call it licensure without further exam, which has improved access, but there hasn't been a flood. And just last month, effective January 8th, the board started recognizing one additional clinical exam, the one conducted by the Central Regional Dental Testing Service, which has 11 member states in the central states. And we will certainly are continuing to work on those issues. In the area of continued competency, the board is very interested in developing some remedial programs. This is an ongoing issue. We're working in partnership with the Oregon Dental Association and the Oregon Health Science University School of Dentistry to try to establish a formal process of determining the needs of licensees who are found to be deficient in some of their skills, and not only assessing those skills, but bringing that person up to acceptable standards within a reasonable amount of time. We've talked about, as part of the board's strategic plan, and this is for the horizon, is a diversion program for people who have substance abuse issues. We're not there yet. And we did, as I said, a year or so ago, initiated random audits of continuing education, which has been pretty effective. Major changes that the board has faced in the last 10 years are listed there. In 1991, the board membership was increased by the legislature from 8 members to 9 by adding a dental specialist. In 1992, the board moved from conducting its own standalone clinical examination that was given at the school by board members to the regional testing agency, which is a standardized, very professionally monitored exam. In 1999, a new position was added to the staff, which is the first position which had been added to the board in over 10 years. And as I mentioned up above, in 1999 and 2000, we expanded our avenues to licensure by having licensure without further exam and by increasing the number of exams, therefore the number of states that people come from who can get licensed here in Oregon. Under performance and workload measures, we have 6,400 licensees. We're at the top of page 4, 3,400 licensed dentists and almost 3,000 hygienists. Most, about 62% of our licensees hold anesthesia permits. The numbers are there. What I unfortunately neglected to put in your handout is that we also have a lot of permits and certificates that we order. There's the limited access permits for dental hygienists who function in independent practice. And a hygienist who has a limited access permit can provide dental hygiene services without the supervision of a dentist in limited access areas like nursing homes, homes for the mentally ill, challenged, and disabled. There is a bill has been introduced this session by the hygienist to expand the areas a little bit, but that's been very successful and has had a lot of interest, but we don't have very many with those permits yet. We expect that to be increasing. Dental assistants can be certified for expanded functions to do special things if they have extra training, and dental assistants might, with a certificate, might do things like x-rays, place sealants for school children, fitting crowns, or placing temporary restorations. And we have a brand new category of dental assistant that we just established, oral surgery assistants, for assisting people like Dr. Kelly when they're doing surgery. The issue of dental assistants doing sealants is a big thing in Oregon to help increase access. We all know that sealants are a great preventive for cavities, and the more people who can place sealants, the better kids are served. So that move on the part of the board was to help address that population that's at risk and can't always have the services of a dentist. Our license renewal, I'm sorry.
Representative Schrader?
Just a question on the dental hygienists. I don't know that much about their training. I assume they all have to graduate from a school, and then in that school they're taught anesthesiology. Is that correct?
Senator Hartung, Representative Schrader, a dental hygienist program is 2 years. Some of them have 4-year degrees, but the core part of the dental hygiene is 2 years. Within their program, and the programs are accredited by the American Dental Association, those in Oregon, I don't know if it's universal, are taught local anesthesia and nitrous. Those are the only anesthetics that dental hygienists can do. Anything higher than that requires a dental degree. And Dr. Kelly can actually speak more knowledgeably about anesthesia.
The dental hygienist they have a very, very good training course during their educational process in that 2-year time, and they can hold the nitrous oxide anesthesia permit and use local anesthesia. And for anybody that's had to sit through some deep scaling type procedures, it's been very, very well accepted, and they're very, very good at it.
Ms. Bones, along with the Representative Schrader's question, on the top of page 4, there are 160 new per year. How many retire per year? And the same question on the hygienist.
Senator Hartung, that's a very good question. About half as many dentists retire as become licensed. Now, I didn't bring that exact statistic with me, but I have it. And it's not as high with hygienists. There's very, very low net gain.
Maybe this question would be for Dr. Kelly. Dr. Kelly, I'm sure like most professions, there's a lot of changes or improvements where you can deliver the service maybe more efficiently or effective. Or how is the new technology, I guess I would call it, affecting the practice of dentistry?
I think it's improving it a lot. There's digital radiography, and they're going to which will eliminate processing tanks and
what's a processing tank?
Processing of X-ray film at this I'm going to say kind of at this point in time is the film is exposed. Probably that's part you're familiar with. The film is then taken out and taken into a dark room and placed in developed